morning, Chair. We are happy to meet this year, to meet together. Unfortunately, we couldn't make it last week. It was a different day. My driver was in Manchester, and most of the people didn't sleep that day because they were celebrating their new life in a new year. So they slept in the morning, I think. So we couldn't make it. We really apologize for that. Today, I'm going to share on the power of the Word, on the power of the Word of God. We've read in John chapter 1, where it reads, "In the beginning was the Word." In the beginning was the Word. But in other Bibles, it starts to explain the Word. It says, "In the beginning was the Logos." Other people didn't know what the Logos was. Logos was a word derived from the Greek word used by the Greek philosophers, meaning the Word. What is it all about the Word? You find that it is in two forms. Others, like the philosophers, like Plato or Aristotle, they were talking about the Word Logos. The word Logos, it is the one that is a stem to many words. Words like the ologies. The ologies, which are a word which is God enjoined to human beings. From that word, you find words like, in fact, these are the words which are about the behavioral sciences mostly. All the words which are coming from the ologies, they talk about the behavioral sciences, about the academic disciplines or traditions or mannerisms or various people groups or people cultures. So you find words like sociology. You find words like psychology. You can hear the sound of the ology. Sociology, psychology, physiology. All the ologies, they are derived from this word, Logos. So, John, the person who lived with Jesus Christ most of his time, used to lie right on the feet of Jesus Christ, listening to what Jesus Christ was saying. So, he knew better about the general life of Jesus Christ and what his purpose was. They say, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and without him nothing was created." The Word. One day, Pastor John asked here about the Logos, I think, about the Word. Then I think it was Jaden who answered, or it was Easley who said, "Oh, it's Jesus." Indeed, it is about Jesus. But I don't know why John decided to use it that way, because Jesus was God, or is God. He is the second one in the Godhead, in the Godhood. Then the third is the Holy Spirit. Why is it like that? Because this Logos, you find that they point to where God met Moses, where God was in the burning bush, when God explained to Moses who he was, because Moses also wanted to know who God was. But he said, "You tell them that I am who that I am." I am who that I am. Or, "I myself, I am the being." I am a being, B-E-I-N-G. I myself am a being. The in another language, I should be this Greek. Ego, eimi, ho, on. Ego, eimi, ho, on. That is Greek, which means I am who that I am. That is God. There was no name, but they ended up saying that he is Yahweh. He is Yahweh. Even when he was that I am, he who that I am, it means that the Holy Spirit was there. It means that Jesus Christ was there at the same time. The Trinity was there at that particular time. So that's why the word is so powerful. We read in the book of Hebrews 4, verse 12, where it tells us the word of God is sharper than two-edged sword. The word of God is quick. The word of God is alive. The word of God pierces the soul, pierces thoughts. That's the word of God. So it's more of a description of how powerful the word of God. A mere voice is not so powerful like that. So the word of God is so powerful. That's why we are here, my friends. Had it not been the word of God, we wouldn't be meeting here, all of us. One would be in his house or in her home. But we are here today because of the word of God, that word in our lives. For a case study about the word of God, I remember I used to be a radio preacher. One day, when I preached to people, like families, I was touching families. So the message, this epilogue was happening at 10 p.m. when people were in bed. I didn't know somebody was already in bed in Mozambique. And he had covered his head with a blanket with his wife. But they were not talking to each other for a couple of weeks. When they were sleeping in one bed, somebody was facing that direction, somebody was facing that direction. They were not talking to each other for a couple of weeks. But I preached this message, it came on the radio. The man was listening to the radio, then came an epilogue. He was tuning to the Zimbabwe, to our radio station, which was called Amagugu Evangeli. So I sent a message there. The message, in conclusion, I just asked a few questions. I propounded a few questions to anybody. The radio was touching Southern Africa, mostly. It was working together with Transworld Radio. When I asked that, in case you die midnight, in case God asks your wife whether you qualify to come to heaven, whether you are right at this particular time, if you're going to die 12 midnight, is your wife going to say, yes, he's all right to come to heaven? Or he will say, no, we are fighting. Then I said, in case you die midnight, will your husband tell God that you are the right person to come to him at this particular time? Have peace with God at this particular time? I propounded on these questions with you. What about your dog? Are you sure your dog is happy about you? If God would ask your dog, if you qualify now to come there, when you die, 12 midnight, today, I kept on repeating this. Then the man told me that he shook the wife, and the wife was awake, but they were not talking to each other. Then he said, did you hear what is being said? So they started to talk to each other. They started to reconcile. They started to repent, to be in good standing with each other that particular day. Do you know that by that day, a church was born in Mozambique? That was the birth of the Brethren in Christ Church in Mozambique. Because this guy kept on talking to me. When are you going to come to Tete in Mozambique? Then I said, no, I am not. Then he said, I am going to the Billy Graham sessions in the Netherlands. That was 85 years. So I said, I'm going there too. So he made an arrangement that we meet. When he went there, he sought for me, so we met together. So we spoke together. He told me the whole story, what happened that night. And I reported to the mission board. The mission board, they reported to America as well. And an executive secretary from America, the mission secretary, came to Zimbabwe and asked me to go with him so that we see what we can do about the church where these people are calling us to come. I'm talking about this is just a case study about the power of the word. So many things happened, I want to say. Even this last week, I sent a message out to my Southern African people. But the person who called me from Liberia. Liberia is in West Africa. I didn't know where Liberia is. Then I said, where are you, my brother? He said, closer to Sierra Leone. I said, oh, how did you get me? He said, somebody in South Africa. I happened to be in one of the groups. So somebody sent me this message. Then he said, when are you coming here to open the church? I'm talking about the power of the word. Whether you are sleeping, it crosses borders. It has no boundaries. So I have no doubt that the word is God, this powerful word of God. This is what I am talking about. This was just a case study, my brothers. In Isaiah 55, verse 11, Isaiah was speaking as a prophet, but I think this was God speaking, who said, my word will not come void. The word which I send will not come back void. The word is Jesus Christ, as somebody said here a few weeks ago. The word is Jesus Christ. Then God says, if I send my word, it will not come back void, but it needs to bring results because it is the word of God. In Psalm 119, verse 11, I think this one is David. Thy word have I hid in my heart so that I shall not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart so that I might not sin against thee. The word in heart, if you have the word of God, you always aware of whatever you're doing. Whether you're sinning, you know that you're sinning. What makes you know that you are doing the wrong thing at this particular time? Because the word is there, is telling you that this is wrong, this is right, this is wrong, this is right. I mean, if you are a child of God, the word directs you. It will tell you, it will show you that whatever you are doing is right or wrong. Thy word have I hid in my heart so that I might not sin against thee. The word is a protection. It is a shield. It is an umbrella so that you don't get wet, because the wet is in you. Have you hid the word of God in your heart so that when you sin, you are aware? Even David, whatever he was doing, he was aware that he was doing the wrong things. That's why he repented quickly. David repented quickly. Yeah. In Psalm 51, 11, he says that, cast me not from thy presence. It's David, cast me not from thy presence. It means that if you are a child of God, you are always in the presence of God. You are like a shadow. When I walk in the open sometimes, I see my shadow following me like this. Every time it will be following me. So David here takes himself like a shadow under God, because he says, cast me not from thy presence, meaning that he is in the presence of God. He was appealing to God not to cast him from his presence. In the same verse, he says this, take not my Holy Spirit, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Meaning that the Holy Spirit was in David, but he was appealing to God not to take the Holy Spirit from him. Why? Because he had sinned. So the two, the presence of God, meaning that Jesus was there, then the presence of the Holy Spirit, which David asked God not to take it away from him. So wherever you go, you are being guided, you are guarded by God. The Holy Spirit is there. God himself is there through Jesus Christ or through the Word. That is what this Bible is saying. In chapter 86, verse 2, that is Psalm, he says, preserve me because I am holy, O God. This is David. Preserve me because I am holy, O God. Few people have claimed or testified that they are holy. This is the first time I hear from the Old Testament. David says he is holy. But remember what David went through. Killed so many people and did this and that and that and that. It was a lie, lying to people. But today he is telling me that I am holy. Thou, O God, please, don't leave me because I am holy. Other people have said, there is nobody holy, there is nobody perfect. But David is saying he is holy. Remember how, where he went through, how he went through all these problems. But today he is saying he is holy. This is David. In Psalm 119 verse 105, where we had the reading, he is saying that, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Thy word is a light unto my path. A lamp and light. In the beginning was the word. The word was life. In him was life. Life was the light of the people. Life was light of humankind. That's what he says there in John 1. Here David is saying, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you read these things carefully and prayerfully, you will understand better. But they are too deep. Because it's hard to know that David was holy unless you read Psalm 86. It's hard to know that David had God, was in the presence of God, that David had the Holy Spirit in him. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Take me not from your presence. In John 8:12, it is God, Jesus Christ, declaring that, I am the light of the world. All those who come after me, who follow me, will never see darkness. They will have light of life. That's what Jesus said. I am the light of the world. All those who come after me, all those who follow me, will never walk in darkness. I presume that all of us, we want to walk in the light, we want to be followers of Jesus Christ, but he says that all those who come after him will never walk in darkness. Myself, I joined that club that is following Jesus Christ. And I try myself to find myself walking in the light every time. That's why I'm here. I'm not wasting my time. I'm really serious about life. That's why I'm here. When you see Malachi coming here, I talked to Malachi about Jesus Christ. I talked to Jaden about Jesus Christ. I talked to Izzy mostly about Jesus Christ. I talked to elder people about Jesus Christ. I reached out, as I reached out to Liberia this week, because the word I sent was also propounding, saying that you are crossing over to 2023. Are you right? Are you sure you are right? You qualify to go to 2023. Or not. I was appealing to people whether they are right with God at that particular time. Because they were claiming, hey, New Year, we are going to New Year. Are you new? I'm dealing with the new you for the new year. Years come and go. Years come. What about you? You need to change for the better. The power of the word of God. Brothers and sisters, the power of the word of God. The word which is spoken about in John 1, it is Jesus Christ. It is God. I am here because of God. You are here because of God. Are you aware that wherever you are, God is? Are you in the presence of God? Do you know that the Holy Spirit is guiding you? Every second, the Holy Spirit is God, Jesus is God, then we have got our Godhead. I am he that I am. This is the God we are dealing with, the Yahweh, the creator of everything. That's why we are here, brothers and sisters. I'm very happy to see you this year, and hopefully we are with God in our lives. And hopefully, God, we are going to keep on praying to say, cast me not from your presence. We are going to keep on praying to say, remove not your Holy Spirit from me. Let's pray that prayer. Let us not just live as usual. Let's really move to God and ask God to help us together with our families. Beloved Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this year. We thank you for the life that you've given to us. With all the objectives that we have, we know we're going to accomplish them through you. Father, bless us with our families, bless our church, and bless everybody. Those people who are suffering, or those people you have helped, we put them before you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.